Well, good morning. Welcome. Glad you guys can be here today. We've got a couple special things. Zach and Suki are back with us. They're visiting us again. It's so great to have them here. What a blessing. I'm giving them this week off, but then Zach is going to share with us next week, and maybe Suki will be leading worship or something. We'll see. We'll be talking about it. But we're super excited to have them back. It's great to have them around. Just love them a lot. Also, I wanted to say a special thank you to Tyler. Is he nearby? Oh, did he go up with the kids maybe? Oh, he went up with the kids? All right. Well, Tyler's been repainting our roof along with a few others. Sam and Dave have also helped him out a few days. But we just, you know, it's been just a huge blessing to have him around and have him working on that. We're super grateful for him. It's saving the church like over $10,000 by Tyler doing it. So that's, you know, that's a huge blessing. So we're super grateful for that. As you see him throughout the day, you know, give him a hug. Don't explain why, just hug him. Yeah, but it's a big thing. It's a huge blessing. He's been working really hard on that. And he went up in our roof because he was going to run some lines. He went up in the ceiling and found all sorts of electrical boxes just sitting open, wires just sitting there. So we're thankful that, you know, he saved our church from burning down. So so we're grateful for that. But thank you all for coming today. And let me just pray before we get into the word. Dear God, we thank you so much again just for being able to gather here together. Thank you that you've revealed yourself to us, that through your word we can know things about you that we would never be able to just figure out on our own, Lord. But Lord, you had mercy on us. You sent your word so that we could understand you, so that we could live in you, God, and so that we could walk in your ways, Lord. Thank you for cleansing us with your blood and the blood of Jesus Christ. And thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit so that we can walk in that resurrection power that rose him from the dead. And Lord, I pray that today, as we study your word, that you would just transform us and change us from the inside out. In your name, amen. Oh, there's Tyler. Tyler, come on in here. So We just, as a church, wanted to say thank you so much for all the painting and all the work that you've been doing around here. We're really grateful. So yeah.
And I have a great family. This is my family right here, my wife's family actually, but they basically push me in the Lord all the time. They're always encouraging, and I feel like you guys are my extended family here, and anything I can do, I'm happy to, because it's a blessing to me, because anything I do for the church, the Lord works in me and my family. So yeah.
It's good to see you guys back again, my fellow Norwegians who know more Norwegian than I do. all right. So, Valentine's Day, right? I'm not going to do show of hands how many of you guys got flowers for your wives. I won't embarrass you like that. But yesterday, I got flowers for my wife. I'm just going to brag for a moment here, all right? And I went to this great place, you know, Kina Floral, and I call up April, and whenever I'm ordering flowers from her, she's always like, what do you want? And I'm like, I don't know. I trust your judgment, because I know that April is much more gifted at picking out flowers, at arranging them. You know, we've got some anthuriums that grow down the hill from here. And one day I was like, oh, Bethany, every time we drive by, she's like, oh, those are such pretty flowers. Those are such pretty anthuriums. So I'm like, I'm going to go pick some of those. I'm going to make an arrangement for it, and it's going to be awesome. I'm going to get, you know, brownie points for that. So I climbed down the hazardous hill, dodging all the Murphy poop all the way down. And I get down to the bottom, and I clip these flowers, and I stick them in a vase, and I'm, like, really proud of my work. And she came home, and she's like, oh, thanks for picking those flowers for me. And then she's, like, outside, just like, I got to get some other stuff to go in this vase because these do not look good all by themselves. But so, you know, I'm just not gifted like that, you know, arranging flowers. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm a little bit proud. But you know, I recognize April has a gift for that. She just has a knack. She can take, you know, this pile. If you ever walk in there and watch her work, it's amazing because she's just got, like, piles of just flowers and leaves sitting on a table. And then she's got a few glass vases, and she just starts picking them up and, like, really quick, too. I went in there yesterday, and my stuff wasn't ready, and she was just whips it all up, whips it together, and hands it to me. And I was like, wow, that's impressive. I like that. All right, I'm gonna go home and enjoy the fruit of your labor. So it was good, you know. But you look for these people who have gifts in that kind of stuff, and I entrust it to her. And last week in Sunday school, we actually touched on this a little bit. We've been going through our series on, well, not in Sunday school. In Sunday school, we've been doing our series on the fruit of the Spirit. Here we've been talking about the church. What is the church? You know, and we've talked about how it's a body. We're going to talk about how it's a body. We've talked about how it's bigger than just us. You know, it's a worldwide phenomenon. It's the greatest force for good in the world. John Sprecher, when he was here, he talked about how through the church, God is declaring to the principalities the power of his salvation. To the spiritual forces in the world, through the church, he's declaring his goodness and his power. And then Darren, last week, he talked about discerning the body. You know, recognizing that we are a part of a body. You know, and what that means to discern the body. Talking about communion specifically, but lots of other stuff too. And and even for today, we're going to be talking about how, as a body, we're so diverse, right? You look at your body, and your body is diverse as can be. And yet, out of that, God brings this unity, this surpassing unity and the surpassing health, which we wouldn't have if we were all the same. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians today. 1 Corinthians, I'm going to be in chapter 12. And I'm going to start in verse 12. I'm going to read kind of an extended section here, and then we'll talk about it. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. So, Paul here, he sets up, he brilliantly and very ingeniously, he looks at the church. And the church in Corinth was in the middle of a problem, okay? They were taking some gifts and elevating those gifts and saying, these are the gifts, right? These are the gifts. If you have this, you are in high standing. You're kind of really looked up to in the church. And, you know, even in the church today, we can fall into this same danger. Oh, that guy is a great teacher. Or, oh, that, you know, that lady, she is an evangelist like no other. And we lift up certain gifts, and other gifts we kind of, you know, lower, as if that's not as important. And it's funny, if you look around, sometimes what you find is you have churches full of one body part. Right? Because we all kind of congregate to one another. You know, we have churches full of eyes. We have churches full of tongues. Sometimes quite literally. We have churches full of, you know, all sorts of things where everybody just congregates and we all assemble into one. Or you have churches full of hands where it's all focused on just serve, 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 do, 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 do. And there's no teaching or there's no speaking, right? There's no mouth or brain sometimes. But, you know, you've got churches just full of one part. Uncle Dennis last week when we were in Sunday school, he referred to this. He said, there is so much strength in diversity. And he was even talking about in a marriage, you know, the fact that a husband and wife are very different a lot of the times. That can be a strength, you know. Bethany, whenever you do like these spiritual giftedness tests or whatever you call them, like personality tests, she rates very high on mercy. She's a very merciful, compassionate person. Mercy is like my lowest gifting, actually. Actually, it's funny, missionary kids, I have found, tend to rate very low on mercy. It's just one of those things. Maybe it's because we've seen bad stuff and we're always like, oh, you know, I've seen worse, you know. Hey, you're not living in a shack, okay? You're okay. But, you know, you have a house? All right, stop crying. But, you know, she and I, we compliment each other. So sometimes, you know, I'll hear about a situation, I'm just like, oh, my goodness, those people, they just need to, you know, get over it. And Bethany's like, oh, but can you just put yourself in their shoes for a moment? Fine. All right. So, but, you know, those differences, they can complement each other or they can cause trouble. You know, if I'm not merciful or compassionate towards Bethany and she just needs me to be sensitive for a moment, you know, that can cause strain. If I'm not willing to get outside of myself and see things from her perspective as well. Paul, he talks about the body does not consist of one member, but there's this diversity. And out of this diversity comes health. I was looking up some interesting statistics on the body. So bacteria, right? Usually we think of bacteria and we're like, bacteria, bad. You know, antibacterial, everything, right? Antibacteria. But your body has within it 4 pounds of helpful bacteria. If you collected all the bacteria living inside of you, it would equal to about 4 pounds, all right? And these are helping you digest, helping you fight, you know, infection, all sorts of things. All these helpful bacteria working around inside you. You have in your mouth, you have more bacteria than there are people in the world. I just ruined your Valentine's Day kiss. But You have, in your mouth, you have more bacteria than you have people in the world. All right? So the body, it's this incredible thing of all these different things, sometimes seemingly opposing things, working together to bring about health. Think about your hand for a moment, all right? Your thumb is really out of line, right? All your other fingers, they're moving one direction. Your thumb is the only one that says, I'm going to go the other way. But it actually helps you out because you have this opposable thumb which helps you grab things. But when you first look at it, you're like, what is up with this guy? He's just a rebel. Things that we think are not that important. Your pinky, all right? Your pinky, all right. You know, if you're going to lose a body part, you could probably do without the pinky, right? If I came to you with a knife and said, pick one body part, all right? You're probably going to say, well, take my pinky or my pinky toe or something, right? But if you lose your pinky, you lose 50% of your grip strength. Your pinky. You lose 50% of your grip strength just by losing one of the members that looks kind of less important unless you're drinking proper tea. All right? Other than that, it's not that important. It doesn't seem that important. But then he goes on and says even something else. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member rejoices, all rejoice together. We all know what it's like when just one member suffers, even an insignificant member, right? Any of you guys ever been, like, grounded with a toothache? Like, you have a really bad toothache, and it's just your tooth, all right? It's just one tooth, but you can't even function. The other night, after our Bible study, I was coming back out here to put some stuff away, because we grabbed some chairs and brought them in there, and I stubbed my toe on the wheel of the piano. Just my pinky toe, okay? Just a little pinky toe. It's not like, but, and you would think, ah, it's just the pinky toe, no big deal. But the whole body reacts, right? If you ever stub your toe, you know. The whole body goes into like this convulsion and you throw yourself on the ground. And you're moaning. But Paul says if one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. If one part of the body is in distress, the whole body is in distress. If one part of the body is honored, the whole body feels honored. If one part of the body is taken care of, the whole body feels taken care of. We are a body. We're so intimately knit together. It's not just a matter of come to church on Sunday, get fed, go home throughout the week, wait until next week, and then come back, get fed, and leave. You can do that, but there will be something that's being denied to the body of Christ. It's like your lungs going on vacation or just taking a gasp every once a week saying, okay, I'm here. Okay, I'm good till next week. Okay, you need this continual functioning where your whole body is working together. All the members building one another up, working together. It's just incredible when you look at the body and you think of how symbiotic everything is. Everything, all the things working together to bring about health and growth. You know, in children, it's incredible how fast their body is producing cells. But sometimes if there's a malfunction in the body of a child, they won't grow because they're not producing a certain growth hormone. Their body's just not producing that hormone. In a similar way, you know, the church, we sometimes won't grow because we're not functioning. All of our body is not functioning together. In Ephesians, if we go over to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians, I'm going to be in chapter 4 here. We're going to start in verse 10. He who ascended Oh, he who descended is the one who also ascended from above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. All right. Now, some of us, when we think ministry, we think, you know, you've got apostles, you've got prophets, you've got pastors, you've got teachers. You've got those guys who do ministry. Those are the ones who minister. But look at what he says here. He gave all of these gifts to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. For building up the body of Christ. Until we attain to the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness. So look what he says there. He says he gave some with certain gifts in order to equip the whole body, right? So me and the pastoral support team and the board, we're not the ministry. We don't do all the ministry. If we're functioning right, we should be equipping the whole church so that the whole church is working together. We're all working together. We're building this thing together. You know, your head doesn't do all of the work. Right? Your head doesn't do all of the functions. No part of the body does everything. But God specifically, in 1 Corinthians 12 there it said, and God chose to bestow certain gifts upon certain people. God, in his sovereignty, has bestowed a special gift upon you, upon me, upon every one of us in this room that he's prepared for us to do. In Ephesians 2 it says, God saved us in order that we might do the good works which he prepared for us beforehand. Prepared for us to do beforehand. So even before he saved you, even before he created you, he knew, okay, I've got Diana in mind. This is what I'm going to have her do. This is the gifting, the way I'm going to build her, design her. She's going to function so well in this gifting. All of us, we have different abilities, different callings, different passions even. I heard one pastor one time define your calling is where your passion and the needs of the world come together, where they intersect. So where if you have a passion for seeing social justice done and the world needs social justice, which maybe it does, but you know, if the world needs social justice and you have a passion for that, that could be your calling. If you have a passion for woodworking and the world needs woodworked, that's your calling. You know, there's all these things where God gives us a passion, he gives us a desire, or he gives us an ability, and that's part of our calling, part of our vocation. Amen? But let's not, you know, the danger again is always elevating certain gifts and diminishing others. When we do that, we're doing the devil's work for him. Because we're saying to, you know, our kidneys, oh, I don't need you guys. I never even see you. It's not that important. But it's providing an important, important function. So the whole body working together, growing into, and look at what it says there. Rebecca pointed this out last week in Sunday school. Growing to mature manhood. All right, as one man, as one body, all of this diversity resulting in perfect unity. Our faith is unified. You know, you notice how he started off, he talks about one spirit, one baptism, one Lord, one, over and over again. And then he says, but we're all very, very different. We're all very diverse. But then at the end, he brings it back in and he says, and all of this diversity results in one healthy man. One healthy church. Diversity working towards unity. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. A wonderful way of doing it. I'm so glad that God didn't just make us cookie cutter people. My grandpa, it's so cool. My grandpa, who's been a pastor for many, many years, he loves saying, he says, you know, God, through salvation, God wants you to make you into everything that he planned for you to be when he created you. You know, the devil's goal is to destroy what God wanted you to be. You know, God had this vision in his mind. He had this picture in his mind of what he wanted you to be. He gave you specific gifts. He gave you a specific temperament. And the devil's goal is to sabotage that. And, you know, oftentimes, it's, if you look at the Bible and you study in the Bible, you see sometimes people are tempted in the areas that God wants them to be walking in. They're tempted to the opposite, right? Peter, who was by nature, you know, he was a bold guy. He was a bold guy. After, you know, he was, hey, if that's you, Jesus, call me out. I'll walk on the water with you. Fine. Cool. I'm coming. But notice on the night when Jesus is betrayed, what's he doing? He's cowering in fear. He's hiding. He's afraid. David, who had a heart that was, you know, a heart after God's own heart, and the devil comes along and he tempts him with Bathsheba, trying to turn David's heart away from God. So there's often a correlation, or kind of a dichotomy, the opposite. The devil tempts us with the opposite of what God has called us to. Because he wants nothing more than to sabotage what God has purposed for you to do. And the church, we need every single part of the body operating. We need every single part of the body working. You know, I used to, when I was a kid, I wanted to be in the Marines, right? I really did. And I thought the coolest saying was, you know, the Marines are like the tip of the spear, which is the American Army. I was like, oh, that's cool. The tip of the spear. You know, you're on the front. You're right there in all the action. But then I, you know, recently I realized, well, the tip of the spear isn't very useful without the rest of the spear. You know, it's not, you're not going to win a whole lot of fights walking around with a spear tip. Like, it's like a little razor blade, right? You need the whole spear. And, you know, we've got Zach and Suki are back here. They're like the tip of the spear. They're bringing the gospel into a dark place. They're penetrating with the gospel into some of these places for the first time. It's like the tip of a spear. They're going in. But they need the rest of the spear behind them. They need the spear half. They need the rest of us back here sending them on, pushing them forward. We need the whole body functioning. And now, imagine a church where everybody walked in their giftedness. Where we didn't look down on certain gifts as like, oh, well, that's just, you know, that's just, you're just working in the kitchen. Or you're just washing dishes after lunch. That's not that important. But imagine a church where we edified one another, we lifted one another up, and we said, and we encouraged one another. When we saw somebody walking in a gift, and we said, hey, that's the gift of leadership. Or, hey, that's the gift of servanthood. And we call it out of one another, provoking one another towards love and good deeds. We encourage one another towards these things. And rather than, you know, getting rubbed the wrong way when somebody is walking in a gifting that's different from ours, you know, I have to be so careful of this. Because I move in kind of more of a pastoral, you know, kind of looking at things pastorally. And some people move in more of a prophetic, like they're looking at it from a more prophetic standpoint. And sometimes that prophetic and the pastoral can kind of rub up against each other. And I have to be careful that I don't just write off the prophetic because I'm trying to walk pastorally. Sometimes one of the major things that happens in the church is we either have the gifts of service or we have what are called the more charismatic gifts. You know, you've got just worshiping in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, those types of things. And then you've got people who are much more practically minded. And, you know, for the ones who are more charismatic, it's like, well, those people, they just don't have enough of heaven in them. And for the other people, it's like, well, they're just, you know, they're just floating around. They don't even live in this world. And there can be kind of a rub between the two. But we need both. We really do. We need both. What a beautiful thing the body of Christ is. The church. What a wonder. So what do we do with this? Well, I've given this list in church before, but I think it kind of bears repeating. How do you figure out what your giftedness is? Well, first of all, you can, you know, pay attention to your passions. What are some of your passions? What are some of your passions? Is your passion for mercy? Is it for serving? Is it for teaching? Is it for, you know, construction? Whatever it might be, what is one of your passions? And then ask yourself, what would it look like if I took my passion and turned that into service in the church or in the community around us? What would it look like if I took my passion and turned it into serving? What would that look like? Second thing you can do is you can ask people, you know, or get feedback from people. Do you think I have this gift? Because sometimes we can be very self-deceptive, you know. I think I'm a great singer. Everyone else is like, just sit down, okay? But we can be self-deceptive. So get some feedback. You know, find some honest people in the church who will give you some feedback. Hey, do you see this as one of my spiritual gifts? What do you think? You know, invite them to be honest. Sometimes it'll hurt, but it's better in the long run, right? For everyone. But, you know, get some feedback. And finally, just try some things out. You know, sometimes we never discover a giftedness that we have because we're afraid and we just sit on the sidelines. You know, failure is not the worst thing in the world. Getting up, trying something and failing at it, that's not the worst thing in the world. The worst thing in the world is never attempting anything because you're afraid to fail. You just sit on the sidelines and say, I don't really want to try that. I'm kind of scared of that. I'm kind of scared to try that. But try. Try things. Try new things. Try new experiences. Uncle Dennis, he just started doing woodworking. How long ago? You took like one class in high school, right? And then you left it for years and years and years. And then, you know, were you retired when you started taking it up? Yeah. Well, he's retired. And all of a sudden he decides, well, I'm going to try something new. Try something new. Turns out he's great at it. Right? So let's not be afraid to try something. See if you've got a gift in it. All right? What I want for this church, what I would love to see happen in this church, is a body full of healthy, vigorous believers. Where we're acting, we're working in our gifting. Right? You know, God's really been putting it on my heart recently of striving for a healthy church. You know, working towards a healthy church, focusing on the things that are going to build health. And rather than just focus on, you know, trying to get numbers up or whatever, but focusing on, hey, I want every person in this body to be a healthy, healthy Christian. Someone who, you know, like we were talking about today in Sunday school, is filled with the joy of God because we are so keyed in and locked in on the promises of God. And when something tough comes along, we're not tossed about, like Paul says in Ephesians, we're not tossed about by every changing wind or the tides going in and out. We are set and we're firm in the Word of God and in the promises of God and what He says about us. And if we become a church like that, you know, growth will happen naturally. You know, as a kid, I was always worried about not being tall enough. You know, I was like, I had a younger sister, 2 years younger than me. We were the same height for a long time, which was detrimental to my self-image, all right? We were checking out one day at a grocery store, and the lady asked, you know, oh, you've got, she asked my mom, she's like, are those twins? I was, you know, I just wanted to weep. But so I thought to myself, I know what I'll do to get taller. I'll play basketball. Because those guys are all tall. So all I have to do is play basketball and then I'll grow. No, a better way to grow is just live healthy. Live healthy and you're going to grow naturally. Some of us more than others. But if we as a church, we focus on live healthy, be healthy. If each one of us individually says, I'm going to be a healthy Christian, I'm going to be a contributing member of a body. I'm going to figure out what my giftedness is, what my spiritual ability is, and I'm going to walk in that. Man, the church will be healthy. The church will be strong. And growth will happen naturally. Amen? Why don't we all stand together? I kind of like what Darren did last week where we all hold hands. We'll have our hippie moment. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for putting us in a body, for giving us a home, a place to belong, a place where we can use the gifts that you have put in us to glorify you and to serve our neighbor. And through serving our neighbor, we're ultimately serving you. Jesus, As we're standing around just holding hands today, Lord, we just commit again that we are going to be dedicated. We're going to work for health in our body. Lord, that each one of us will function in the giftings that we've got. And Lord, we just want to commit to our neighbor right now, the one we're holding hands with, the ones that surround us all throughout this building. God, we commit to seek their health as well. To seek to build them up, to call out the giftings that we see in each of them, to provoke them to good works in you. And Jesus, I pray that you would just open our eyes to see opportunities, to use our giftedness for ministry, Lord, for you, to glorify you, to make you known throughout the whole world. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for calling us, for sovereignly enabling us, God. Even before we were created, you made us this way. You made me to be me. You made Uncle Stephen to be Uncle Stephen. So, Lord, help us to walk in the fullness of all that you've called us to be. And where the devil has tried to ruin our calling, the thing that you designed us for, Lord, I pray that you would just give back the days that he has stolen. Undo the damage that he has done. And help us to be what you want us to be, Lord. To do the things that you've called us to do. To go where you've called us to go. In your precious name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you guys for all coming out this morning.